Good morning to each one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been good to be here already this morning. You know, as I'm sitting here listening to the opening and the children's lesson and just meditating on our motivations and choices, and I just had to think, you know, many people today have made a choice not to be in a place like this. And today, many people are, the prisons across the U.S. are full of men and women because of choices they made. Right now, there's people resting under the throne of God because of the choices they've made. Right now, there's people in hell waiting to be cast into that lake of fire because of the choices they've made. We've been encouraged to examine our heart. What is our motivation? What's going to be the outcome of my choices? And this morning, I'd like to just share a message that would motivate you to make some more choices that will benefit you in eternity. So that's my heart this morning. And so it was a short notice, but I feel that maybe it was of the Lord. He has blessed me this morning in preparing, getting up early, and just wrestling last night with the Lord what he would have, and then felt like I got a clear word from the Lord. And I feel like once I get a clear word from the Lord where he wants me to go, then the message putting together becomes easy for me. I find it hard to get the clear word from the Lord. So by God's grace here, I just want to share this message he has laid on my heart. So I've titled it, Are You an Overcomer? Are You an Overcomer? Before we begin, why don't we rise and have a word of prayer? Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity again to share your word. And I just ask, Lord, that you would move in our hearts here, Lord. And I pray you would especially move in my heart, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that you would use me for your glory here and honor, that would just simply convey your word. And I do pray, Father, that your word would have free course. We pray against any powers of darkness that would hinder the word of God from being preached. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless each soul that is here. Lord, I pray that you would give them ears to hear. We pray, Lord, that you would keep the enemy from snatching away your word, Lord, lest it should bring forth fruit. We ask, Lord, that you would just have your own way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have one scripture in John chapter 16. If you want to, you can follow along today. John 16, verse 33. Here's Jesus speaking. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So these words are in red. I'll read it again. These things I have spoken unto you. That's you and I this morning. That in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so throughout the scriptures, you know, we see this word overcome, overcame, overcometh. So today, in this message, I want to lay out the importance of being an overcomer and how do we overcome. Because if we aren't overcomers, then we will miss the mark. Paul says, I press toward the mark. I press toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If we're not an overcomer, we will miss the mark. And so I want to encourage you today to make a choice to be an overcomer. Jesus says there, I have overcome the world. And we're going to see, because he overcame the world today, there's power for you and I to overcome the world. And then I want to go to 1 John chapter 5 and read verse 1 through 5. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this morning, as we're in our song service, there were many, many phrases in the song that talked about the faith of Jesus. And I was felt like that was a confirmation to me as we sang those songs. It talked about the faith of Jesus. And so what does the word overcome mean? It means to prevail. It means to overpower. You know, sometimes my children wrestle and see who can get the one down, you know. And normally the one who overpowers is the one who ends up on top and is holding the other one down. You know, that's the one who overpowers. That's the one who overcomes. It means to conquer. It means to triumph over, gotten the victory. And I'm just going to maybe use some of these words here in 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, and just read it again. For whosoever is born of God prevails or overpowers the world. This is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? Or who is he that triumphs over the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. How many of you children, you know, you have a little wrestling match with your brother and sister, and you're the one on top? Any of you? Nobody? Maybe they don't do that in your home. But, you know, the one who ends up on top is the one who triumphs, who overcomes. And we have a picture in Acts chapter 19 of someone who is overcome by darkness. I'd like for you to turn there. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 16. We're going to read three verses here. Starting in verse 13. It says then, first I'll back up here and give a little history here. We should just read verse 11. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took up on them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So here were this man Sceva. He had seven sons, and apparently they saw Paul walk up to men that were possessed with demons and cast those demons out. And they looked on and says, well, we're going to try that. We're going to do that. There were seven brothers. And So they found a man who was possessed with evil spirits, full of demons, and they went up to him and said, the name of the, which had the evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And this man, you know, imagine this, had so many demons in him. You know, when people are full of demons, they are very powerful and very strong because the demons are also powerful. And this man took these seven young men, you know, they're in the strength of their youth, and he tore all their clothes off, it says, and he leaped on them, and he uses these words, he overcame and prevailed. He jumped up on him. He tore all their clothes off. He beat them up. And it says they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They probably had blood flowing from them. Here's a picture what the word overcome means. It's a word picture. And I wanted to show you this word picture. Here's one man overcoming seven because of those demons in him. And it uses both of those words, overcame, prevailed. He conquered them. He triumphed over them. They fled wounded and naked. They're naked and there's probably blood flowing down their bodies. And it says, and this was known to all the Jews. Everybody knew about this. And it says, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And so here we have seven men who tried in their own power to overcome the power of the world, and it did not work. They tried in their own power to overcome the world. You know, this man was full of what the world is today, this demonic man. And you know, and if you're full of self, and if you're full of all about you, you're not going to be able to be an overcomer. Because, you know, we just read in 1 John here, I'll go back to it. It says, for whosoever is born of God, God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so we're going to need Jesus as our helper to overcome the world. We're not going to do it on our own strength, just like these men. And also, according to our text here, just backing up just a little bit here, in 1 John, you know, chapter 5, John tells us what an overcomer looks like. He's going to love the children of God. In verse 1 and 2, it says, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and when we love God and keep his commandments. There's a second one. He's going to keep the commandments of God. Don't expect to be an overcomer if you're not going to love the children of God and keep his commandments. And they go hand in hand here. And I just wanted to point that out. And then if we go to Revelations there, in chapter 2 and 3, we have the seven churches that Jesus is speaking to. And he's exhorting every one of them to be overcomers. And as I read these two chapters, only two of them were actually overcoming the world. Only two of them. And so I would just like to, for the sake of time this morning, just read the account of the Church of Philadelphia, which is in chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. They were one of the churches that was overcoming. And I want you to take notice of some wording in here. Revelations 3, 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and I want you to notice the next phrase, has kept my words. What did John say there? Keepeth my commandments, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. So here we see one reason why they are being overcomers. They have kept his word. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Verse 10 again, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Notice again, they were keeping his word. You know, when we keep God's word, that is our that is walking in faith, and that is what helps us to be overcomers. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. When we keep God's word, he says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And so what I wanted to point out there is verse 8, they were keeping God had nothing bad to say to them as a church. It's because they were keeping his word and were overcomers. The other five churches here, the church of Smyrna had the same thing. There was nothing bad that God could say to them. They were overcomers. But the other five, he had something against them. They were not overcoming in every area of life, because they were areas of God's word, they were failing. They were not keeping it. And so, just wanted to point that out, you know, with what I read there in 1 John chapter 5, the first verses there where Jesus says, we love the brethren and we keep his commandments. We love the children of God. And, you know, if those two are not in place, you know, there's going to be problems overcoming. The other five churches there, Jesus tells them to repent. The world was starting to overcome them, just like those seven men in Acts chapter 19. The world was starting to prevail in their lives. Alexander the Great in overcoming the world. Alexander the Great was a warrior who in his time conquered all the known earth. Or so that's what history says. We read in history of one in departed days who fancied that he had accomplished this hard task. He carried his victorious arms over every region of the then known earth. He conquered king after king, and nation after nation beneath his sway. Excuse me. And then fancied that he had overcome the world. He felt it sad to think that his heroic task was done, and wept that there were no more worlds to conquer. Oh, far astray, far mistaken. There was one world to conquer yet, to which that conqueror was a slave. A world to overcome, which the arms of Alexander were of no avail. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Again, Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, Jesus was tempted and tried in all points, and he overcame the world. The Bible says there was no temptation that we are tempted with that he wasn't tempted with, and he overcame. And Jesus tells us here in this verse that you and I are also going to have some problems. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Excuse me, I have a little tickle in my throat. Keeps wanting to make me cough. So, in John 16:33, Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have some problems in life. You're not going to get away from them. You know, he says, you shall have tribulation. But he goes on to say, but be of good cheer. Yes, I've told you beforehand, you're going to have problems throughout your life, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, we live in a world where people get hurt. We live in a world where people get offended. We live in a world where people face temptations. We live in a world that offers its lures and pleasures. But the real question is, are you able to be an overcomer? Jesus says you're going to have problems. You're going to face temptations unless you're different than I am. But I've experienced that there is power to be an overcomer. The scripture says in 1 John 5:4 that if you're able to overcomer, to be an overcomer, that is proof that you're of God, that you've been born of God. And so we don't sit around and pity our hurts and offenses and say when we are tempted, it's my weakness. No, we are conquerors in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 says, more than conquerors. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Many people get defeated like the seven sons of Sceva instead of being an overcomer. And because they're not able to overcome, their love for the children of God is lacking. They struggle to keep the commandments of God. And it goes on and on. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, be an overcomer. Because if we're an overcomer, that is a true sign that we've been born of God. Otherwise, we're going to be defeated like the seven sons of Sceva. And so, how do we overcome? And that's where I want to spend the rest of my message on. How do I overcome it? And we read there in our text that the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, it comes back to faith. We overcome the world by faith. And I'm going to read a few scriptures on faith, and there is a phrase in these scriptures that I would like you to notice because it's important to be in being an overcomer. And that phrase is the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. We'll see that phrase a few times. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's not my faith, it's not your faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So notice that phrase, by faith of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, it's a little different. The Apostle Paul is exhorting Timothy. It says, in that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If you want to, turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Have another verse, and this phrase is in here a couple times. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, those seven sons of Sceva, they tried by their own power and it didn't work. And if we try of ourselves to be justified, it's not going to work. It needs to be the faith of Jesus Christ. And then we turn over to Galatians 2:20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. I want you to specifically notice this verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so what the Apostle Paul here is saying, the same faith that was in Christ Jesus is also in me. Christ lives in me and I have his faith, the same faith that he has because he lives in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Did we notice all those scriptures? The faith of the Son of God. And see, it's the same faith that's in Jesus Christ is in you and I. And this is important. If you're going to overcome the world, that you and I have the faith of Jesus Christ dwelling within us. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The faith of Jesus Christ becomes our faith. And it produces something. And this is what it produces. It produces victory over the world. It produces you to be an overcomer. The faith of Jesus Christ produces something. It becomes, it will always produce victory. That's what the faith of Jesus Christ will do. It will produce victory. It won't produce a defeated life. You know, you take, for example, the Muslim faith, it produces something, right? It produces a certain lifestyle. We all know what it, and everything that goes with it. The Ramadan, their five-time-a-day prayer, and even some of the violence. Some of them don't condone that. But yet, I'm just using it as a point. The Muslim faith produces something, right? And you take the faith of the Seventh-day Adventist. It produces something. It produces Sabbath-keeping. It produces vegetarian. It produces something because it's what their faith teaches. You take the Hindu faith. It produces something. It produces idol worship. It produces fear. I think Brother Elton could tell us many stories of, you know, how people who came to faith took their stuff off the shelf and they were afraid while they were doing it. People were fearful about it, but they, by faith, they did it. It produces something. And you take the Amish faith, it also produces something. It produces a lifestyle, but not a faith that overcomes the world. And the list, you could go on and on with the list, you know, of all the different religions. The faith, it produces something. There's many. You take the Calvinistic faith and doctrine. It produces a loose living where men and women freely live in sin and yet they're saved. I mean, I've shared stories of people I've met. But what I'm bringing out here, the faith of Jesus Christ within us, it produces victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when we have the faith of Jesus Christ in us producing victory over the world, it becomes our own. It becomes ours. I'm experiencing Jesus Christ in his fullness. To be is victory over the flesh, the lust of the flesh, victory over the lust of the eye, victory over pride of life. It produces a victory. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 3. Spend a little bit of time here. It says, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that sounds like an overcomer, doesn't it? Sounds like someone who is overcoming. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, Christ liveth in me, and now here in verse 1, it's flipped around to them, which we are in Christ Jesus. They're both intertwined. And so he says, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh. And so here, there's life in Christ, the law of Spirit of life in Christ. Remember, we need to be overcomers if we're going to make it. I want you to notice, verse 2 says, the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, sounds like an overcomer, both verses. And also, I want you to notice here that there are two different laws. We see the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and we see the law of sin and death. And we see the law of sin and death at work everywhere around us in the world. And I just mentioned earlier, you know, the jails are full. You have abortions going on. You have robberies every day. You have war in the Middle East. You have Russia and Ukraine. You see the law of sin and death at work all over the world around us. We see it. We see it even here. We see divorce. We see heartaches. We see hurting children. You know, they don't have enough foster people to parents to take care of all the hurting children. We see the law of sin and death working all around us. People struggling in sin, and it's all the effects of the law of sin and death. But verse 3 says that the law of sin and death is weak in comparison to the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I'll read it here again. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So the law is weak compared to the law of Spirit of life. And an illustration that we are familiar with is the law of gravity. It's very powerful. It's a truth that you and I cannot change. If I let go of this pen, what's going to happen, children? How many of you children think it's going to go up if I let go? How many of you children think it's going to go down to the floor? A lot of hands are going up. You're right. It's the law of gravity, right? Some of us know the law, the effects of the law of gravity has had on our bodies after the impact, you know? And so the law of gravity, we cannot change. But there's another law that overcomes the law of gravity. Brother Timmel could tell us about that one. Can anyone, your children, tell me what it is? It's the law of aerodynamics. You have the law of aerodynamics. And so in that aspect, compared to the law of aerodynamics, the law of gravity is weak. It's weak. And so the law of aerodynamics, and I want to use this for an illustration here. Bear with me. This is... There's two things that the law of aerodynamics, and I could be wrong, Tim will feel free to correct me. I've seen this here already, and I just found it interesting, and we can make a spiritual application here. Just with some of the research I've done in the past, but this is, maybe I should use a different color, help show it up more inside. So these two words are what basically makes up the law of aerodynamics. These two words. Thank you, brother. And these two words are what make up the law of gravity in the flying world. So these two here are more powerful than these two, and therefore they're able to overcome. So in actuality, the law of gravity is weak compared to these. When these two are working together, they are more powerful than these two. And that's what the law, this word is thrust, and this word is lift, this word is weight, and this word is drag. And so I brought another little illustration here. You little boys are going to like this one. See, as long as I'm going to throw this out here, or maybe I'll just do it over here, that way nobody will get hit. But see, as long as there's thrust, there's going to be lift. But once the thrust is gone, the law of gravity is going to take over. As long as there's thrust, and that's what the engines do, they give enough thrust. As long as there's enough thrust, there's going to be lift. And it defies the law of gravity. But there's, I was going to do another one here. Over here, and just make some spiritual application. On this side, and so here, on this one here, for thrust, we'll put faith. And up here, we'll put spirit of life. And here, we'll put death and sin. Here's the law of sin and death on this side. And on this side we'll have law of life in Christ Jesus. And so it's just a little illustration, you know, of the law of gravity and law of aerodynamics. And we all know this law or truth here of gravity is just this truth here, the law of sin and death, is just as much in effect as over here if this here is not in place and overcoming. Just like the plane. And this law here of sin and death went into effect in the Garden of Eden there, where Brother Joe and I was sharing this morning when Adam and Eve took of that tree of life and ate. That law of sin and death went into effect there. But praise God, there is another law in place. It's the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it frees all mankind from the law of sin and death, enables him to be overcomer. This law is weak in comparison to this law. It enables you to be victorious over this world, just like this law of aerodynamics and enables that big, I don't know how many ton jet to overcome the law of gravel. You know, every time I see a jet take off, my mind just always goes to these verses. I'm just stand there in awe and amazed as I watch that thing go and defy this law. It defies it day after day. It defies the law of gravity. But you and I have the same law. We have a law in place that defies this law, and it's up to you if you want to, I have another one here. You know, if the minute you stop believing, you know, as long as you keep going, you know, you're gonna. But the minute you stop, you're gonna go down. And many people struggle here with the law of sin and death because they're not over here. Here's these two go here, and these two here. And so I just want to encourage you today that you would just walk by faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn back here and read those verses again in 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, true faith in Christ produces an overcoming life. You know, as long as that the thrust is there, in the law of gravity has no power. And as long as the spirit of life and faith are there, the law of sin and death has no power over you. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Them is referring to the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, when we're over here to have the faith of Christ in us and Christ in us, greater is he who is in you than he who's down here trying to destroy you. Greater. And so we have no excuse. You know, those 747 Boeing jets have four powerful engines in them that to thrust that plane forward so fast that the lift, that they lift and are able to overcome the law of gravity. As long as those engines are running, that jet is able to thrust forward and stay lifted. But if they shut off or something goes wrong, that jet immediately comes under the effects of the law of gravity and starts to fall. And, you know, so as you fly these little airplanes, children, probably never saw a preacher playing with airplanes at the pulpit, did you? But, you know, as long as that jet, as long as this thing has thrust, it's going to go forward. But once the thrust stops, it falls to the ground. And it's, I just wanted to use that illustration. You know, there's some similarities there that you and I can take for our personal walk with God. Thrust has its source. This thrust has its source. It comes from those engines that propels it forward. Faith has its source. It comes from Jesus Christ, and it becomes our faith when we hear the word of God and believe it and keep his commandments. Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hebrews 3:15, "Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts." The faith of Jesus Christ becomes our faith when we hear and believe, and gives us the victory that overcomes the world. And I want to read 1 John 2, verse 13 and 14. "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Notice, you are strong, it says. And the word of God abides in you. And then you're overcoming. You're strong. Young men like to be strong, right? There's true strength. Here's true strength. And that's where I want to encourage you to overcome. And then I will close with the promise in Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 6. For those who do overcome. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow." Remember, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have sorrow. "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat up on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. There's a promise. And so that's what I want to inspire you, to motivate you. We heard about motivation already this morning. We heard about choices. I want to inspire you, make choices to live here and not here. And so with that, I would like to sing a song, Galatians 2:20 and Colossians 3, verse 1 through 3. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. Who loved me? Who loved me? Who loved me and he gave himself for me?
Christ in God.